What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in to the Take Command podcast. I'm Craig Hoffman. That's Logan Paulson. And if you're watching on the old YouTubes, you see another face in the middle. Ladies and gentlemen, that is John Kai from ESPN. What's up, Cakes?
What up? How are you guys?
Good to see you. Good to see you. Doing well. John back from the trip to New England where he was at the joint practice yesterday. Of course, the Commanders and Patriots are going to play tomorrow night for the first preseason game. And there's no starters playing, Logan. So that's why John came home.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah. No, like John's a starter. So he's excused from the game. That's how that works.
I love that.
Yeah. So we will, Logan and I, a little bit later, we'll hit on a couple of things after we do our joint practice review with John. But we will hit on a few things in terms of what we're looking for the game on Friday. But John, when you think about what you saw yesterday, you're flying back home last night, wake up this morning thinking about what you want to write about. What's the biggest takeaway you had from that joint practice yesterday in New England?
Okay. So biggest takeaway, I don't know if it's a surprise to say that they kind of need Terry McLaurin on the field. And not only Terry, but Noah Brown as well. Two guys who can make plays on the outside. But that's what we've seen throughout training camp practice. Like the receivers, are they getting enough separation down the field? Can they make plays down the field? Because you need that to open up other areas for Zach Ertz and Deebo Samuel. Zach Ertz has had a really good camp and looked really good again the other day. I think the other thing too, Craig, was the defense. That, and you always take these things with a grain of salt because, like, what are they trying to work on? How many of their pressures are they really showing? But they didn't produce the way I thought they would, given how we've seen them play in training camp. And you never know. And Logan, you know this. Like sometimes the way you play in camp, like you don't know why are you looking so good? Is it what you're doing? Is it what they're doing or not doing? But I think that's one area where I felt like I was a little bit surprised that they weren't a little bit better, because I still think they're going to be pretty good on defense this year. But this is the hard part to know, is what were they working on and what were they trying to do with their pressures? How much they hold back? But of course, both teams hold back. So, you know.
Yeah. Do you think the stuff with the defense was more matchup related? You know, obviously they've got different kind of caliber receiver over there. Like how did the kind of one-on-one man-to-man matchups go? Because again, the defense has been stellar so far in training.
Right. And I think that's part of it too. Like, you know, for example, I felt like Trey Amos was still really good. Now, there was one time where he, you know, guy gets open in the back of the end zone, May misses him, but it was really more of a extended play, right? So he just lost sight of his guy, you know, little takes it to the middle, cuts back outside. Mm. But he matched up a couple times against Stephon Diggs, and I really liked what I saw. Like there was one time they're trying to throw a fade to him in the end zone, the thing I love about Amos is how patient he is, the patient feet. He does not open up before you make your move, right? But it's also the two-hand jam into Diggs really disrupted the play. And May throws to him, but he's got no chance because the play was disrupted because of Amos. That's the kind of stuff I love to see out there, right? And then he also, the next play, takes him away too on a similar route. And, just a nice job. So those are the one-on-one matches you watch. Like Mikey Samuelson gave up some things on some crossers. That was a little surprising, but, you know, because he's been very sharp throughout the summer. And I thought some of the one-on-ones up front, like this is where it's hard. The hard part, as you know, is like when you're watching a game, you can go back and rewind and rewind and rewind. And sometimes, like, you know, you do this, coaches do this. It's hard to always know live, why did this play not work? You know, who did what? Like there was one time where May takes it up the middle in a red zone drill. There's a four-man rush. Well, it looks like the tackle, Javon Kinlaw, just gets way upfield and it creates a gap in the middle, right? So there's an easy gap for him to run through. Was it something that was it supposed to be the end coming through and replacing? I don't know. Like those are the things you see, but you don't know. You know the what happened, but you don't always know the why. And, sometimes with like, that's where you see it in the matchup with the coverages. And then, but you still see like, even in some of the one-on-ones, like I felt like Josh Connolly was better than he had looked in training camp. And there were a couple of times that Harold Landry got him inside, but overall I felt like he seemed pretty solid. Laramie Tunsil, really, really good, as you would expect. So, and I think the offensive line.
Right, no kidding.
Exactly. I mean, how about that? A shocking that a five-time Pro Bowler was pretty good. But, you know, like people always wonder, like, why was he traded? Was he starting? No, and he's really good. And the other thing with the offensive line, and you have, Wiley's going in at left guard. Well, that's Brandon Coleman's spot. That's where he's been working at. Wiley has kind of been bouncing around from every tackle to guard spots. Then you have Allegretti at right guard. Well, eventually it's Sam Cosmi, and you have a rookie right tackle. How long will it take that group to really, to me, I think you could look at the second half of the season and say that group could be really strong at that point because you're going to get more time together. Rookie gets acclimated. Cosmi back in. Then you start to hit your stride down the stretch. Like that is kind of what I'm anticipating. So the fact that they were up and down wasn't surprising to me because of all that.
Yeah, the secondary piece of it, I think that you hear the kind of headline level talk about it. And it's like, well, all of a sudden they faced a different opponent and it didn't go so great. And you have these like horrid 2023 flashbacks of the Ravens joint practice where you realize, oh, God, the reason the defense has looked okay so far in camp is because the offense is actually brutal. And considering the no Noah, no Terry for a lot of camp, you have to wonder, like, has the defense been dominant because the receiver caliber they're facing is just not very good? Then you have to remind yourself it's only one day. Like, let's settle down a little bit. Like, let's not jump to conclusions.
You don't really prep for that. That's the other thing just to point out. Right. Is like, you know, in a game, you'd kind of understand, like, oh, this totally is what Stephon likes to do. This is the route concept I'm going to match. And you kind of go in blind. And we didn't talk about this earlier, but that was another reason I didn't like joint practice, because you didn't have a lot of like you didn't have like normal kind of game plan stuff. So
right.
I'm not trying to make an excuse, but I do think
right
there's always kind of a tough joint practice.
Right.
Is tough.
So ultimately the question, John, is like, what do you make of the fact that they did face a higher caliber of juice at receiver? Still, it's not Jaden, but Drake May is a good quarterback, and the defense had one of it, or the secondary, had one of its worst days that it's had.
Yeah, and listen, it's just like what Logan said. Like, I think you guys know me enough by now. Like, I don't overreact to good or bad, right? You don't, because it's one piece of the puzzle. It's one part of your preparation. So you don't want to I don't like to extrapolate too much from this. You take it like, okay, this is what we saw today. How does it match up with what we saw the first few weeks of training camp? And then how does that compute, right? And I think that's why I say defensively, we saw really good stuff. But I think just like you guys would say, okay, what does this mean, right? We don't know yet. But I will say, like, I have confidence that Mikey Samristil will have a good season. And Trey Amos was really good. Like, the question there would be Marshawn Lattimore. And I talking to him after the practice, one of the things that He definitely feels like he has his burst back, and they feel like he's moving very well. Like in talking to multiple people, like now, of course, you want to see that, and maybe that's sometimes you see what you want to see, but I do think he's moving better. The question, though, is the timing of his game, right? So he talked about, because he hasn't played a lot over the last few years, is getting that footwork to be more consistent on a down-to-down basis, which then allows you to be more consistent. He did give up. There was a May threw a nice back shoulder against him that resulted in a touchdown. Good throw. But this is where not having McLaurin, Noah Brown in practice, where you're not seeing them match up against guys who are top. Now, Debo, you see it, right? Like, but Debo's a different dude. He's not like AJ Brown. He's Debo. He's different. But you can match up. But you want to see him match up against a Terry McLaurin to see where is his game at now and give him a better sense of it too. And same thing with even Noah. I mean, Noah's not a number one receiver. We know that. But he was having a good year last year. He's been productive last couple of years outside of the injuries. But he's a legit NFL receiver. So, like, that's the stuff you're not able to really watch in practice. You see it. And in some cases, maybe that's a good thing. So now you're going back and say, okay, don't be fooled by. Like, this is the memory from this practice. Not that you go crazy with it, but don't be fooled by the other stuff too. Like, hey, don't forget, like, don't get lazy here with this. Don't get sucked in thinking this because of what's going on here. And that's not I think this receiver core, when those other guys are here, there's more depth than there was last year. But, but you're elevating guys to different spots, and then you're covering guys who you may not cover during the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, this is maybe kind of a personal question, but, like, when do you start making conclusions? Is it week one? Is it week three? Is it after the preseason? Like, when do you kind of say, this thing that I saw when is now starting to come true here? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you know? You're such a measured person. Like, when do you say, like, it's solidified?
Well, I think it also depends, Logan, too. Are you seeing a steady habit of whatever it is you're seeing? Like, if you're seeing this group not being able to separate, well, to me, that's a problem, right? But again, like, you don't have...
It's been consistent, right? It's been a consistent.
So that if it's consistently happening, then yeah. And then, but with the defense, I do think that they're going to be better. I think they have more ability to be versatile and creative because I think the coverage and what they can do, right? And then I think some of the players they have up front and what they can do. So I think they can be that. I haven't changed my thought on that based on one practice, and I don't think, and here's the other part, Logan, I don't think we're going to know until the season begins, because we're not going to see them like the starters in the second preseason game might play one or two series, and they're not playing in the third, but you have that Ravens that joint practice as well. Like, that to me is another big measuring stick for the starters. How do they look at that time? What's the O-line look like against that group, right? So I think that's – and the defense, that's a great test for them. So, I think that will be the next big measuring stick step for me. And, see, okay, do they look different? Is Lattimore, how does he looking, right? And does the line do a little bit more to generate pressure? But that would be the next measuring step for me. And then season begins, now it's week by week measuring, right?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, for sure. I think the other thing that's, you know, important to point out and some of the discrepancy here is in 2023, for instance, I didn't have a lot of faith in that staff and those players once the game planning happened to take a big jump. This time around, it's like, oh, no, this staff's pretty good at game planning. And this is a smart group of dudes. Like, they will adapt. Right. Like, the gap between practice play and gameplay is probably bigger because of that. So I just wanted to stick a pin in that real quick. On the receiver side of it, though, John, without Terry, without Noah, like we said, obviously all eyes are on Luke, on Jalen Lane, on those guys, Strachan, you know, Chris Moore, Jacoby Jones, those guys trying to make the roster at the end. Did anybody stand out in any meaningful way yesterday with the extended reps that they got?
Not really. Jacoby Brooks had a nice one-handed catch. They had a nice one-handed catch in the end zone.
There you go.
I did not see it live, and because like you're watching these two fields, and it's your eyes go over here, and then you see them jumping up and down over here. Like, all right, what did I miss? But anyways, like he had that, but he's not. He's still a long shot to make the roster, right? So you know, and even if he does, he'd be your last receiver. So it's good for him, really good for him. But we're not talking. You know, I'm looking at guys who are going to contribute, and I didn't see that, right? Like the guys who kept jumping out were Zach Ertz, you know, Debo, Austin Eckler. I mean, the guys that you know what they can do.
Oh, really? Those guys? No way.
Yeah, no.
It's wild. We have John on for extreme insight, and all he tells us is good football players playing good football. Exactly. I mean, come on. Make something up. Wow, we need some excitement. We need some pop, baby.
That Ertz guy can play a little bit. So, but I think.
But in some ways, that's a good story in itself because, like, what is he, 34? And he looks better this year than he did last year. His ability to consistently win versus man coverage is incredible. So
but I've had people tell me that his footwork is better than it was ever. And you know, but that's I crazy. Still liken him. I liken him to like the 35-year-old basketball player at the Y who's got the knee-high socks.
I love this metaphor.
But who has the knee-high socks, but just knows how to play. And they're like, you know, the young guys come in, you know, he's got the headband, he maybe has some elbow, you know, pads, whatever, but he knows how to play. He knows how to school the young guys because of his old school moves. I think that's like Zach, like he just knows the game so well that he's able to create enough of the separation. And maybe that gets a little bit more yak than he had last year. But I think like that's why I think he can still we're still seeing this from him. Like that's not a mirage.
Yeah.
So but yeah, I don't know that anybody else really I wouldn't say jumped out, you know. So
I guess my question, John, is like who's the sixth receiver for you right now? Because like, you know, a guy that I think is interesting is Strachan because of his movement skills, his size. Like he seems to make a splash play every day, but also will make a bad drop every. It's like kind of this yin and yang. Like you see what he can be, and you see the bad, and then you're like, but who's going to fill out that room and kind of make their claim there?
Right, and I think like you saw that yesterday. He got open on a deep one, and Josh Johnson just underthrew him at his feet. And he now could he have made the catch? Maybe it was like down low at his feet, and he was several yards behind the defender. Then I think he had another one that went off his hands. I just don't remember. But
he did have a big play that they put up on social media. That's right. He did have one big catch yesterday too.
That's right. That's right.
That's every day. That's what he does. Yeah. Big play. And,
but I don't know that is that enough for him to get that sixth spot. So I'm still looking at guys like, you know, an Osborne or a Gallup because they're veterans. Right. And you know, the Chris Moore's, but Chris Moore to me, has he jumped out? I haven't seen
not since OTAs really.
No. Right. And so, you know, I think there've been some drops like, so I don't see that, but I still look at those veterans starting off and then because and partly too, like what, and this is the other thing too, that I like to pay attention to the special teams units. Like I love noting who's working on these units and who's in the first group, who's in the second group, because that gives you a lot of clues as to where they might go at any position. So I don't know, Logan, I don't know that anybody separated themselves for that last spot.
And that's the one because immediately you said Gallup because of his past performance and he's had flashes in practice for sure. But the one that sticks out, the thing about him is like, he doesn't do teams work. Like he doesn't do anything.
That's exactly right.
So like, how's he going to make the roster as your sixth guy if he's not playing team? So that room for me is really interesting.
I agree.
I think there's some talented guys, some high upside guys, but no one's really like made it happen. Right, Craig?
Yeah. Well, and then the question is not just like who's wide receiver six real quick, John, like who's wide receiver four?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we know who the options are. We know which guys are going to make the team, but like, they're also competing for minutes and snaps. And so like that, who's going to actually meaningfully play, not who's going to be either playing only special teams or inactive every week. Like that's a more important question.
No, for sure. Well, listen, you look at that, like Jalen Lane is your punt returner. So he's going to be on the field. Right. And then it's like the one thing with Luke McCaffrey that I think, again, the trickle down from not having these other receivers out there is he's working a lot more on the outside. And is that really where he's going to play during the season in a game? Probably not. So, you know, and he can blow inside and outside, but has he progressed enough? Like you're not seeing to the level I think you would want to given where he was drafted. And so I think there's still some work to do there to see, can he do that? And like, that's one of the things, again, he's a guy to watch in the preseason. Does he separate in these games? And, you know, maybe he's even going against backups, but that's even more reason to get that separation, right? So I think that's definitely, I agree with that. But we know Jalen Lane will contribute, and they seem to be excited about him. And they're definitely like, you know, the one thing they talk about, he can run the entire route tree. And that's something they didn't realize, Cliff Kingsbury didn't realize when they got him, because at Virginia Tech, it was a little bit more limiting. But there's still some times, too, where you're watching him, like when you pay attention to the receivers practice, you know, their portion of practice, and Logan knows I like to watch this because you're right there. And I like to videotape this stuff and then go back and watch it in slow motion. Like, why does this guy do this? Like, how does this route compare to this one? And there was one route where I'm watching where like guys are cutting, but they're cutting on their inside foot on this one particular route. Well, Jalen kept cutting on his outside foot, and Bobby Engram had to kind of work with him on that. So then it's like, but those are not that it means that he's not doing well. It just means the details of that are what you're still kind of learning and adapting to, right? So when he gets that, what kind of threat can he be? But I also think he's got that speed. And when you watch him at Virginia Tech, like the way they use him horizontally and vertically, he can be a threat in multiple ways. And so, you know, it may be that you try to get him on the field a little bit more. And I don't know yet, but because he can pose a threat with that speed and you want those explosive plays. But here, the last thing on that, Luke blocks pretty well. So that's another factor in this.
But it's interesting hearing you talk about Lane, because to me, he's obviously like that fourth guy now. You know, Terry, Noah, Debo, like he's made the most plays of the next group. And then it really is like no one's really asserted themselves. And so that group's really interesting. It's really interesting because like
– I think Jalen's going to make a nice – impact, if nothing else, with that punt return stuff. But and again, watching him there, and like I, you know, you watch it and you know some of this stuff, and you watch it with B. Mitch, and you know that okay, like what he sees and what you see is like okay, if I'm seeing this and B. Mitch is saying this, then like okay, you know. But just watching him, like he gets a quicker first step than other guys. He just does because he's in better position to catch the ball and push off.
When I hang out at practice and watch practice with B. Mitch, I've never been around even special teams coaches who watch returners with such detail.
It's awesome.
Like he gets so juiced for it, right? Oh, you see his feet, you see his hands, and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even. Yeah, and obviously it's very technical. And when you play for 14 years and you're one of the best of all time, like you're gonna notice the details. But B. Mitch, man, gets so fired up.
It's awesome
stuff. It's incredible.
I love watching practices with him because how, you know, he worked with those guys in the spring for that one day, right? And I know he still talks to Jalen about this stuff, and which is, you know, this too, like everybody always wants the former players to, oh, they should go out there and coach. Not everybody's qualified to do that because they haven't stayed around the game, or they have, you know, but B. Mitch is really good at the details of that position. And that's what I think will separate. But you get that quick first step, you make some move, now you got a chance. And so I think that's why I say with the receiver, there's sometimes with those little details that you see, but even, I agree with you, Logan. I think he's definitely of that group, like between he and Luke and all that, he's jumped out more in that area. And you, when you have speed, man, you want to tap into that.
Yeah, you got to get those guys in the open field, and obviously they'll find ways on the offensive side, but just, hey, 83, go back there and you catch that football and you do your thing, man. So we'll see that. Not to keep this all offensive here in the back half of our conversation, but the running back situation, I think, is an interesting one to watch as well. One thing that I didn't see a ton of reporting on yesterday, John, so just to tap into the fact that you were there and then our expectations, and Logan and I can talk about this more in a second, expectations for the game, but how did they split up the running back reps yesterday? Because we know Bill has gotten some reps with the ones here and there, but we also know that, you know, they listed him fifth on the unofficial depth chart for a reason, that those other four guys have, you know, they've got skins on the wall playing NFL football. And so how did they handle that position yesterday in the joints? And then what do we expect in the game?
Well, first of all, with those depth charts, like, you know, talking about.
They are very unofficial.
Yeah. And, you know, and I don't know how they determine it this year, but there have been times in the past where the coaches will tell the PR staff, just put down however. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how unofficial at times they can be. I think Dan Quinn puts a little more thought into this. And when you're a rookie, if you haven't done it, like, you're going to put him back. But he was getting reps with the ones. And so, you know, Chris Rodriguez got some time. McNichols, I mean, they rotate those guys quite a bit. But Kroski Merritt, Bill, got reps with the ones. And he had a couple of nice runs. Like, the hard part, too, though, they're not taking guys to the ground. So you're not still right. – it's really in the games what we'll see. But the thing that I'm looking forward to seeing from him is, you know, they talk about the violent cuts. How does that translate in a real game, right? How is the vision? You see the ability to have some of those jump cuts too. He can be a little bit bouncy, right? And a bouncy, not just bouncing outside, but just boom, boom, right? And so, like, that's the stuff that I'm curious to see. How does that translate? And then also, you know, are there holes for him that he's either creating or finding, and that, which is the visions, right? So, like, that's the stuff. And the other thing I loved watching him in college was the violent finish on his runs. And so, like, how does that look here? But he had a couple of nice runs. I think he had like one or two runs around the end, some good blocking. Then other stuff where it's like, that's where you want to say, okay, now I need to rewind this film to see why did that only gain 2 yards. Right. And, you know, or how long was it? Cause we're behind the play. So sometimes your depth perception is like, was that 2 yards? Was that 4 yards? But I think, you know, he's certainly a guy that's intriguing. Chris Rodriguez, I think, had a decent run. B Rob had a good run around the end on a play where it looked like Jaden changed it at the line, at the run at the line. So, you know, there were, that's an area where they have to be better at. But again, like with that line, are you going to get there right away when you have the makeshift group that you kind of have right now? Not completely makeshift, but when you've got some of this, what they're dealing with up front.
Yeah, you're negotiating depth issues on the offensive line early. It's hard to evaluate in practice.
Right.
The other one I wanted to ask you about, because I think it's kind of one of the sneakier position battles, is Josh Johnson and Sam Hartman. Like, did anybody kind of distinguish themselves in practice and kind of say, I deserve the third quarterback spot? Or was it kind of a wash and we're going to watch the preseason game for that?
Yeah, I think because they're going to bet, like, they're going to be, this is the Josh Johnson and Sam Hartman summer, right? Like, they're going to, Mariota is not going to play in the preseason. I would be shocked at that, right? Because they already know what he can do. They know he can come out of bed and go win a game for them with what he does in this offense. And I think with Jaden, they'll see him maybe a series in the Bengals game, maybe two. That's about it. And then they have the joint practice. So as far as those two go, I don't know that there was a big separator yet. I want to go back and look at my notes, see with Sam. Like I told you, like Josh, there were a couple – he had missed a deep ball to Strachan, and that was a big – that's a big-time play, right? And so
– yeah.
But I don't know that there's been a separator there yet. But that is definitely the one to watch. The other thing is – Do they keep three on the roster? And this goes back to our discussion about receiver, because if you're not sold on a sixth guy, you can keep one of those guys on the practice squad, a veteran, and the Ja'Cory Brooks or Strachan, and then keep maybe if you want to keep a third quarterback or like the, you know, four tight ends. How many running backs do you want to keep? How many O linemen do you want to keep with? Because Cosme may, you know, we don't know what his status will be at the start of the season. So, you know, or do you want to keep an extra guy on the defensive line because they're worthy of it? So, like, that's going to be part of the equation as well.
Yeah, the roster mechanics, I just don't see a way they keep three because they've got so many good players elsewhere. And the good news is, though, you could probably get both those guys to practice squad. So if you wanted to keep the room the same, you could probably do that.
Correct.
All right. Last thing for you, John. Defensively, when you look beyond Frankie and Bobby at linebacker, has there been anything like I'm sure the disappointment is incredibly high that Jordan McGee is banged up again. This is, you know, deja vu all over again from last year. And they had big plans for him. So we'll see how quickly he can get back and if some of those plans can come to, you know, actual real life this year. But has there been anybody else that started to stand out either as kind of a good depth piece in a traditional linebacker role behind one of those two guys or in a dime, you know, more pass coverage role that we know that they're going to use some of this year?
I mean, to me, Kay Medrano is like, you're flashing his speed. You're starting to see it more. And he had a couple plays in practice last week where he gets Eckler behind the line. When he's matched up against some of the backups, you're seeing like the coverage skills. Now, Yankoff got him on one round, but by and large, you're starting to see that. Does that mean he's ready to contribute in a game yet? I don't know, but he runs well. Now, it's funny because he's either a smaller linebacker or a big safety in a linebacker's jersey, right? Because like the way he moves and all that, you could put him in there, which is, makes him a good fit at that Buffalo nickel, big nickel spot if they want to use him in that role. But he's the one that has, of the backups, that you're starting to feel. Like, you always talk about feeling a guy's on the field. Like, and I don't know, Logan, if you have felt that as well, but it seems like he's starting to play faster for sure.
He's a guy, man, that I feel like every day we've watched, he's made some type of splash play. And now, like, practice is Kay Medrano's wheelhouse. And what I mean by that is, like, there's no tackling. Right. When it's time to go tackle.
Yeah.
And like, cause he looks great. Like in 7-on-7 looks great. Like Yankoff had a choice route the other day that I don't know how he covered it, but he made a play on the football, did a great job on a seam. Like he makes plays in coverage. Agreed. He can run to the football well. In the preseason game, if he starts making tackles and looks good, like I think he's going to solidify himself as that next kind of guy outside of Jordan McGee. But we'll see, man. Cause again, like you watch his college film, there's magic on there, but there's also a couple plays where you're like, have you ever tackled anybody in your life? And he's a converted offensive player. That's part of the process. And again, very high on him, but he's a guy that I talk about, you know, Sam Hartman, Josh Johnson in the preseason game, like, or Bill Merritt, like Kay Medrano, circle him with a huge pen and be like, how many tackles do you have? Can you tackle? Let's check it out.
And that's a good point too. Yeah, it's a great point because I remember talking to you about this after the draft too, like just watching him in college. That was one of the questions about him. Was the consistent ability to get the guys on the ground and you're playing up near the line. But yeah, you know, the good thing for him is that what I've seen is the speed is showing up. And so, which suggests that he's getting comfortable. How does that result during games?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the guys that we're going to be watching. Logan and I are going to run through a couple more next. John, thank you for your time, sir. I know it's been a busy week. Of course, everyone should check out for more the John Keim Report or John's Daily Nuggets at ESPN.com. John, thank you, sir, and we will talk to you soon.
Oh, my pleasure. Always have fun talking to you guys. You know that. Thanks.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.